Hey everybody, Rob B here with Rob D, and you are listening to the Property Podcast. And this week, it's the market update. If you want to find out which area of the country is growing by over 16% right now, and where in property £192 million is being spent every single day, well, you're in the right place.
Welcome to the Property Podcast, where every Thursday morning, property investors come to be informed and inspired. This week is our special episode of the month where we bring you up to date with everything that's been going on in the market update. But that is not all. Make sure you stick around, because in Hub Extra, we've got a resource to help you out if you've completed Netflix, and we've got one of our most impressive listener success stories of all time. So let's get straight into that market update then. Some months there's one big news story that dominates the headlines. This is not one of those months. It seems on the face of it like a quieter month, but if you dig a little bit deeper like we have, there's actually been some really interesting things going on. There are stories worth focusing on in the world of mortgages and tenancies and lettings. But let's start, Rob, as we like to do, with the big picture. And the big picture is telling a story of a very strong property market.
It is, or the strongest, Rob, the strongest seller's market for a decade. That's according to Rightmove. That's our first news story today. Now, in this news story, there is some house price data, and we're going to come on to house price data shortly. But there's a telling line here, and it says, now demand is exceeding supply by the greatest margin for 10 years, as sales have already been agreed on almost 2 out of 3 properties, according to agents. And locally to me, I'm absolutely seeing that in areas that we're looking at for investment, for Property Hub Invest, absolutely seeing strong demand in certain markets. So the strongest in 10 years? Well, actually, Rob, when we look at the house price data shortly, I'm not actually that surprised. It's a big claim, but I'm not shocked.
No, it makes complete sense, because when you think about it, there's not a lot of new supply because lots of projects have been delayed over the last year because of COVID. So there's probably less supply even than there normally is. And at the same time, you've got all these extra people coming onto the market. You've got people who've been able to save up more over the last year than they normally are as a result of working from home or things like that. And you've got the stamp duty holiday, and you've got mortgages for first-time buyers improving. So you can really easily see where the new demand is coming from. And that is absolutely filtered through into the data that's being reported here.
And this takes us nicely into the house price index report that Supla produces each and every month. Sometimes we refer to it as Supla, sometimes we refer to it as Home Track, but the data is the same. And it gives us a list of the city centres that are performing the best and worst. And the top performing cities are Manchester, Liverpool, Leeds and Nottingham. They're leading the way with over 5% year-on-year growth. Now, I remember to smart little sausages at the beginning of the year saying that those areas would do well. So Rob, should we end the year now so we're right for the predictions episode? I mean, I know we're not that far into it, but it looks good at the moment.
It does, but you know what? I'm confident that that will continue, so I'm all right to let 2021 keep on rolling for a little bit longer. And one of the reasons why that may be the case is that the report also points out that cities in the north are going to benefit the most from the reduction in stamp duty. And yes, I know Nottingham is technically in the Midlands, but it points out that more than 2/3 of the stock currently listed for sale is priced at under £250,000. And that is going to be the cutoff for the tapered rate of stamp duty before it goes back up to its full amount. So lots of indication there that that will continue. And also another stat in there backing up what the previous story from the Rightmove data was saying. There was a 24% spike in buyer demand in the days following the budget. So the announcements in there, including the stamp duty, including the mortgage guarantees, clearly doing their bit to get the market going.
And if you look at the land registry data, and that's our next news story, well, the market is really going. And no one's really reporting on this. And this is a bit of a niche news story because it focuses on Liverpool more than anywhere else. And understandably so, when I tell you the numbers in a moment. Now, Rob, you said at the beginning, there's no big headlines around property this month. And this hasn't created all the noise and a big headline, but it possibly should have done. Because in Estate Agent Today, there's an article where an estate agent has looked at the land registry data. Now, this is not reported anywhere else, so we're going to dig into this for you and come back to you in the next few weeks with an update on the land registry data and give you a top table and a bottom, just as importantly. But this estate agent has established that Liverpool property prices have gone up 16.7% since March 2020. And we've double-checked that because we just couldn't believe it. But it appears to be correct. And not only that, but places like Oldham, Burnley, Blackburn, Manchester have all seen double-digit growth. Manchester coming in at 13%. So Rob, these numbers appear to be true, but they're also astonishing. Like, these are massive, massive numbers. This isn't, you know, a property surge. This is a proper full-on boom if this data, as it appears, is correct.
It really is pretty crazy, and even crazier when you consider what's been going on for the last year and what everyone thought would happen over the last year. We dunked on people's predictions several weeks back, talking about how poor that they'd historically been and how wrong everyone had been, including us, about what property prices would do over the last year. And when you break it down and look at the more local picture, it's even more striking. If you gave this data to people without saying when it was from and asked them to say, what kind of things do you reckon were going on in the country at this time? I don't think anyone would say, well, everyone was locked up at home and there was a pandemic going on. You just never would have thought it. It really is amazing stuff. So yeah, more on that in the next few weeks.
And moving away now from house prices, but staying with the big picture concepts, on the Mortgage Strategy website, there's a news article and the headline reads, households repay a record $17.6 billion mortgage debt. And that's a lot of money, so you're probably thinking it's over a year like I initially did. But no, that was over the final quarter of last year. So that's an equivalent of $192 million a day. And the reason why it's a record is because people are overpaying on their mortgages. But Rob, again, while that's a big headline and it grabs the attention, it's not entirely surprising because there are a lot of people right now who are still in jobs but aren't spending as much as they once would do because they can't go out. So instead, they're paying down their mortgages.
Yeah, it's been termed accidental savers. And we've talked about this on the podcast before. And we've talked about how there is this real split happening because everyone has been affected by the pandemic. But in financial terms, some people have been affected very negatively. And some people have been affected extremely positively. So as this story acknowledges, at the same time as you've got a record amount of debt being repaid, as people have got this savings glut, and, oh, well, what should we do? Let's pay down the mortgage. You've also got one in six mortgage payers who've been granted a payment holiday because presumably they're struggling to repay their mortgage. And there are, of course, lots of people who are struggling. And that doesn't get fully picked up in all the data around house prices and things like that. Because lots of the people who've been the worst affected by the pandemic are probably not people who were in a position to buy a house in the first place. So we are in this really interesting and not particularly good position where there is a bit of a divide opening up and you've got two stories playing out at once. You've got the story of people being really hard hit by COVID, which is the one that everyone thought would be the story. But then you've got this other story in parallel about people who are actually doing really well out of it, which is the one that's showing up in all the market activity and the house prices. So when trying to make predictions, when trying to think about what happens next and work everything out and see what the future looks like, it's really worth considering both of these stories and seeing which applies to that particular situation.
Sticking on the mortgage theme now, let's look at lending as a whole and see what's been happening over the last month. And a really pleasing news story to read this month is the Yorkshire Building Society is the first to bring back 95% mortgages. So before COVID, 95% mortgages were quite common. Lots of people took advantage of them and it helped a lot of people get onto the property market for the first time. All those products disappeared when COVID kicked off. There was obviously a lot of nervousness across the world and across financial markets, and it was just seen as too high risk for lenders. And Yorkshire have come out with a product that allows you to get 95% lending at a rate of 3.99%. So not the most attractive rate, but a product nevertheless. Now, you may remember from last month's market update that the government announced a mortgage guarantee scheme to encourage banks and building societies to lend at 95% loan to values. And the government would act as a guarantor to encourage the banks to lend. Now, the Yorkshire Building Society haven't taken advantage of that scheme. So all the lenders who are going to use that scheme have yet to release their products. We would expect it over the next few weeks and we'll talk about it more next month. But it's really pleasing to see things move in the right direction. And when more and more lenders come to the market, We fully expect to see those rates fall as competition rises.
There's also a bit of a theme in the mortgage market at the moment around more product choice. So we mentioned on the podcast in the past that a lender called Habito has come up with a 40-year fixed rate product, which is really astonishing, especially when you consider that there's no early repayment fee. So you've still got the flexibility, but if you want to, you could also lock your rate in for 40 years. Now, the rates on that are not particularly attractive, but still, it's interesting that that option is out there. Another product that we've not talked about before is from Landbay, who've come out with a product for buy-to-let landlords who are buying in limited companies. But the difference with this product is that they will lend to trading companies, not just SPVs, special purpose vehicles. In other words, a company that has been set up just to buy property and nothing else. Now, in practice, even if you do have a trading company, there are good reasons why you might want to set up a separate SPV, and it's quite easy to lend money between those companies. So it's not going to make a vast amount of difference to most people, but it is just another sign of more variety in the market and of lenders keen to do business again. Something that we've seen over the last year is initially lenders just pulling all their products and not being interested in doing much of anything at all because they were worried about the state of the market and they were adapting to working from home and had reduced capacity for actually processing and servicing mortgages. We've seen that gradually opening up over the months, and that is continuing now. Until now, we're getting back to the same point that we were over a year ago, which is when we were reporting on more products coming out and more variety, because once again, lenders are wanting to lend and lenders are competing with each other. And one of the ways that they can compete, because rates aren't really going to get any cheaper, is by offering different types of product. So I think even though what we're talking about here is some pretty niche offerings, the sign of what that means for the strength of the mortgage market in general is really encouraging.
So a pretty positive month so far. Lots of good news out there. To wrap up this market update, we've got a couple of contrasting stories. And the reason we're talking about this one is because, well, look, at least myself personally, I'm a little confused by it. The headline says, Labour claims tenants barely considered during the pandemic. And it says that Labour's Shadow Housing Secretary claims that private renters have been barely considered during the past year of the pandemic. And this is apparently in support of the lobbyist group Shelter, sometimes also called a charity, which claimed 6 million people in England were actively worried about becoming homeless. Now, it's not to dismiss the worry of the 6 million people. It's just quite astonishing that the angle here seems to be that tenants have been barely considered. I don't think this is a tenant thing. I think this is a UK thing, and some people are tenants and some people are homeowners. But the vast majority of people have been able to take advantage of furlough, which I would consider support. And also, Rob, we had the eviction ban as well, which was released, quite rightly, and extended. Again, probably quite rightly. A lot of landlords won't agree with that, but it was done to protect tenants. So to say it's been barely considered seems odd at best. Or am I being unfair?
No, I don't think you are. There's a quote in this story about holes in their so-called evictions ban, meaning thousands of people have been made homeless. But I don't know what holes they're referring to. Of course, I'm sure that some landlords will have broken the law and evicted tenants illegally, whether that's by giving misinformation, by using force or whatever. And that is wrong. But that's not a problem with the actual ban itself. And I agree, furlough is not perfect, but it's helped a lot of people. There's also been a boost to universal credit. So there's been support there. If you wanted to support this claim, you could say that in England, there's not been any direct support to tenants to help them pay the rent, which there has been to a limited extent in Scotland and Wales. But on the whole, a complete ban on evictions for over a year seems like a pretty good protection to me. And there is a contrasting story from Landlord Zone saying that there are 21,000 Section 21 notices that have been served but haven't yet been able to result in an eviction. So that is 21,000 evictions that have not taken place as a result of the ban, which does unfortunately mean that there is a huge backlog to be worked through whenever things do open up again. And landlords are very unhappy about that. So landlords would say that the eviction ban is too harsh and it's causing them problems. Tenants will say that not enough has been done to protect them. Maybe if people on both sides are about equally annoyed, maybe that means that things are about right.
And I think it's about right that we talk about Hub Extra. But before we do, let's give you a success story. Because yes, the property market's been busy, but so have you. And we like to highlight your success stories and the things that you're achieving. during what has been a crazy year. So, Rob, who have we got this week?
We've got an absolute corker this week. This came in the form of a YouTube comment from Wizbit, who says, I've read all of Rob D's books, that's why it's so good, and listen to the podcast every week, and it's fantastic for new information as well as motivation. With your encouragement, I bought my first buy-to-let 2.5 years ago, and I've just had an offer accepted on, what, second, third? No, my 20th property this week, and have announced my retirement at the age of 42. I'm very excited about the next 42 plus years and exploring the world, all thanks to the freedom property will afford me. That is incredible. 20 properties in 2.5 years. That is some going. Well done to you.
I'm feeling like a lazy slob, Rob. That's...
I know.
I'm not doing enough. And unfortunately, the Hub Extra isn't going to help me because this week's Hub Extra has come as a recommendation from producer Dan. And this is a podcast which is called The Rewatchables. And it's a simple format. They just go over old movies, but remind you of why you should rewatch them. There's so many classics out there, so many brilliant films that we may have missed the first time over or watched once and then forgotten to go back to. Now, hopefully we come out of lockdown, but to see you through these last remaining weeks, this is a really good podcast to pick up some absolute classics and some absolute gems. And I'll give you an absolute classic rewatchable as well as a Hub Extra Extra. And it's a film that, for some reason, didn't absolutely fly when it came out, but it's picked up a bit of a following, and the ratings are really good. I really enjoyed it. It's called Memento, back from the year 2000, which is making me feel very old right now. So go and check out that podcast, and there's a classic that you can go back and watch as well immediately.
Well, there you go. The Property Podcast always giving you more, even packing a bit of extra into Hub Extra this week. But that is all the goodness we can pack into this episode. Hope you've enjoyed it. Lots of great stuff going on this month. We'll be giving you another market update next month, and we'll be giving you yet more property goodness next week, because we'll be back with Ask Rob and Rob, answering two more of your questions on Tuesday, and then back again with a Property Podcast on Thursday. So until then, have a great week. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.